Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going
to
find
one. Are you confused with the ups and downs of the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stuff.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome again to another live edition of Wall Street Unspun. I'm Peter Schiff, the host, president of Euro Pacific Capital. And the number again to call, toll free, to ask any questions that you might have, to interject a comment or two, to disagree with me or agree with me. The telephone number to call is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597, and the lines are open, so call. Well, I spent the day today in New York City with various interviews with some members of the press. I was with Investors Business Daily, Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and but the most interesting meeting that I had was with a television crew and a couple of journalists from the Netherlands, and they were in town filming a program that's going to be aired on Dutch TV next month, and it's called The Day of the Dollar. And, you know, it's very unique that this show is being aired in the Netherlands and not in the United States. But over in the Netherlands, they have three main television networks, and this show is on one of those three networks, prime time. It airs Sunday evening at 9 o'clock. It is the Dutch equivalent of 60 Minutes, so it's a very popular program, and they're doing an entire show on the dollar and what happens if the dollar were to collapse. And so it shows what's happening in Europe as people are starting to ponder these things. And so while they were in town, they spoke with, you know, many different analysts, bankers, economists on this subject, and I was glad that they chose me to speak. And so when I do get this program, I do intend to make it available on my website. I know most of the people listening to it are not able to watch Dutch television, but they will be able to see it on the website. So sometime next month, I'll get the DVD, and I'll post the entire show on the site. And so it should be very interesting. And once it's up there, people should make it a point to visit the website and listen to the show, because there will be opinions from many other people, including myself, talking about the fact that the dollar is likely to collapse and what it means. Now, I think they might also have some people on there that are arguing the opposite point. But I think the people that were doing the show were very sympathetic to my point of view. As usually are, you know, reporters, when I talk to them in private, they are quite sympathetic to what I have to say. Just when it comes down to actually reporting and writing stories, they generally, you know, don't want to come right out and say this stuff, because I guess they don't want to be accused of spreading fear or being too gloom and doom. But there's a lot of sympathy for what I'm saying, I'm finding, among a number of reporters that I talk to, you know, privately. But anyway, again, the most interesting aspect of this whole show, The Day of the Dollar, again, is that it's happening in the Netherlands. It's not happening in the United States. I mean, why isn't 60 Minutes, why isn't our 60 Minutes doing a report on this? I mean, here we are on the verge of a major economic catastrophe that's going to impact the Americans far more than the Dutch, yet it's the Dutch who are doing a program like this, and Americans, you know, just we're just whistling past the graveyard. Now, we've had a lot of economic data that has come out. I mean, some of it, this consumer confidence numbers we got again yesterday showed the biggest decline in consumer confidence in a number of years. And also yesterday we got a 10% drop in home prices, in new home sales, not prices, in sales. So more evidence that maybe the economy is beginning to succumb to the high levels of debt out there and to high gas prices and lack of savings and now the hurricanes. And, you know, Hurricane Rita apparently didn't do as much damage as some had feared, but it's done quite a bit of damage to disrupt refining capacity, to disrupt oil rigs out in the Gulf. And as we speak, you know, there's another tropical storm forming right now in the Caribbean that very well could be another hurricane. We'll have to wait and see. But certainly, you know, as I've said before on the program, it seems to me that we're in an era, at least for the next several years, where we'll probably have quite a few hurricanes hitting the United States. And the fact that, you know, we're going to have the federal government has decided to socialize the rebuilding effort of hurricanes. These are tremendous fiscal commitments that we're on the hook for as taxpayers, or more likely as savers, because the government doesn't want to pay for these massive federal spending programs legitimately through taxes, and I put the words legitimately in quotes. They want to pay for it sneakily through inflation. They want to tax the value of our savings and investments. So that's why people who do not want to be taxed that way need to get their money out of the U.S. dollar. They need to acquire assets around the world, which is exactly what we're helping people do at Euro-Pacific Capital. We are helping people to diversify out of the U.S. dollar and to avoid the U.S. inflation tax, which is going to be very, very substantial. And another indicator of inflation we've been talking about on this program for over a year, the price of gold was up another $7 today, I think to a new 17 or 18-year high. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, if it's not a new one, it's close. But it was very strong. I mean, oil at one point intraday was up another $2. I think it backed off by the close. But, you know, we're starting, you know, to see, you know, more and more signs in the real economy that inflation is a huge problem. You know, also, we had Alan Greenspan come out yesterday and try to, you know, jawbone the economy and soothe everybody's fears, everybody's legitimate fears, with a bunch of propaganda. I mean, one of the things that the chairman said was that, in his opinion, he didn't think that homeowners were too stretched, that people in general haven't borrowed too much money and haven't gotten it over their heads when it comes to home mortgages. I mean, what is the chairman smoking? I mean, I've accused him before of being Mr. Magoo, and it's not simply that he bears a likeness to Mr. Magoo, but he can't see anything right in front of him. I mean, what is he talking about? Homeowners aren't overstretched. I mean, what does he call, you know, in places like California, where 80 to 90% of the people buying homes are using adjustable rate mortgages, or half the people are using interest-only mortgages? What better sign of people being overstretched than the fact that the only way they can afford to make these pay housing payments is to use these loans that pay no principal or that float? What about the fact that people are spending 40 and 50% of their monthly incomes on their mortgage payments? I mean, what is that indicative of? You know, the fact that the majority or such a large number of people are buying properties with little or nothing down. I mean, what is that indicative of? And the fact that so many people are renting out property or buying properties to rent them out at a loss. I mean, what housing market is the chairman looking at? It's certainly not in the United States. Obviously, people around the world are legitimately concerned about the overextended consumer in the housing bubble. And what Greenspan wants to do is set aside those legitimate concerns. He wants people to be more complacent. He doesn't want people worrying about these problems, because if they did, you know, then maybe they would stop lending us money, or maybe they would sell stocks, or, you know. So the chairman doesn't want people thinking about these real problems. The chairman wants people to ignore them and pretend that they don't exist, so that the U.S. can continue to borrow and consume another day or another week or another month, however long it turns. But certainly, I guess the Greenspan wants to keep the bubble inflated until after January, when he steps aside and his successor takes his position, and you know, is probably going to be made the fall guy. I mean, he's going to have to clean up after Greenspan's mess. So I guess Greenspan's just trying to keep everything afloat until January, and maybe he'll succeed. But again, you know, all these delaying tactics, the longer it takes for this catastrophe to unfold, the worse it's going to be. Because we need to, you know, to solve these massive economic imbalances of too much debt and too much borrowing and too much consumption and not enough savings and production. But the longer it takes before this correction process begins, the further out of balance the economy grows, and the more severe a recession is going to be required to right ourselves. You know, we're digging ourselves into a bigger ditch, and so it's going to take more effort to dig our way out. And so that's all Greenspan is doing, is helping us dig deeper. And by trying to falsely allay fears that are building around the world of the overstretched American homeowner, Greenspan is hoping to buy some more time, but in the process, more homeowners are able to buy, more people are able to take on additional mortgage debt, and that's, you know, to consume, and that's a big problem. You know, speaking about the real estate bubble and some signs, at least anecdotal signs on my own, that the property market might finally be caving in, is a tremendous increase in homes for sale here where I live in Fairfield County, Connecticut. There are a tremendous number of homes on the market now. I just driving between my house and my office, I passed 14 for sale signs. On one particular block, there's three houses for sale on one block. And there's also at least a dozen new constructions between here and my office. So not only do they have all these 12 homes, 14 homes for sale, but they're building new ones. Now also, many of the homes that are for sale today were for sale when I moved to town almost a year ago. These houses have been on the market for a year and they still haven't sold. And a number of houses that have been on the market for the last, you know, 5 or 6 months are on their third round of price reductions. So prices are being reduced, yet the inventory is still not moving. Also, a client of mine in New York, a real estate broker, mentioned that things had really slowed down and that she was being offered commissions now of 7% by sellers as an inducement to sell their homes. Now, it wasn't too long ago when homes were selling like hotcakes, when you put a house on the market and there'd be an instant bidding war, you know, people would write letters, you know, to you with a sob story on why you should sell them your house, and, you know, you'd put your house on the market for $800,000 and you'd have 30 bids, higher than that, and it'd be an auction process. During that period of time, people were trying to squeeze the realtors. They were saying, look, we don't want to pay you 4, 5, or 6% commission, and people were, you know, do it yourself, and, you know, trying to negotiate down the real estate commissions. Now, people are so desperate in areas to try to find buyers that they're willing to compensate a realtor even more than 6%. They're willing to pay 7% now in New York City to try to get somebody to buy their property. This is obviously indicative that we're running out of buyers. Now, what's also going to be happening is more and more inventory is going to be piling on the market. As every month goes by with fewer and fewer homes being sold, you get more and more inventory on the market. What's going to happen is once the overhang of unsold homes gets high enough, then a lot of the banks are going to have to start to be a little bit concerned about the credit that they're extending. Because right now, you know, when real estate prices were rising, banks were very loose and are very loose in lending standards. They would lend you with nothing down, or they would no documentation, or they wouldn't care if, you know, you can afford the teaser rate, but you couldn't make the payments in a year or two when the higher payments kick in, because they figured that nobody would default on a mortgage because they would lose all their appreciation. And even if somebody couldn't make the payments, the bank would take the house, the collateral, sell it, and get their money back. But once they see this massive inventory of unsold homes, and they realize that there's a glut of homes on the market, and it's not easy to turn around and sell, banks are going to get leery. They're going to start restricting their lending standards. They're going to start requiring larger down payments. They're going to want more income verification, or they're not going to want to give out as many adjustable rate mortgages because they're going to be concerned about getting the property back and having to sell into a market that is already loaded with unsold inventory. So the minute that starts to happen, the minute the banks start to contract their lending standards, you immediately price more and more people out of the home buying market. So if you have a bunch of houses on the market now without buyers, imagine how much fewer buyers there's going to be when the banks start contracting their credit. And then once, you know, more homeowners start to see this glut of inventory and they start to see prices starting to fall, all of a sudden more homeowners who have been sitting on this pile of equity for years, they're going to want to sell before the prices fall any further, before they see this equity vanish. So now weakening prices, you get more supply coming on the market. At the same time, the speculative buyer, the spec buyer, who is a significant percentage of today's market, once he sees prices falling, There's no point in buying a house with a negative cash flow if prices are going down, so the spec buyers go away. And all of a sudden, you know, buyers, once the buyers start to see real estate prices falling, where's the urgency? When there's all these houses on the market and prices are going down, sit tight, wait. You know, why buy today? You know, right now or during the mania, people were rushing to buy because they figured if I just waited, it would just be more expensive. I got to buy the first thing I can see because prices are going to go up. But once the opposite psychology takes hold, why buy now? If I wait a month, I'll be able to get it cheaper. So then the whole thing unravels, you know, and then the buyers back away, you get more sellers, inventory starts coming out. Then, of course, you've got all this new construction that's hitting the market. So I think we're seeing a lot of evidence that the top could be in. So we'll have to wait and see, but it could be if you're still holding on to your house that the time to have sold it has already passed, that any equity that you believe you have is simply an illusion in your mind because there's no way to actually get that equity because there's no buyers around. Now, that doesn't mean you can't extract it through borrowing. I mean, one of the things I've said to a lot of people is if you have any equity in your house right now, go take out a loan against it because you'll never be able to sell your house for what the appraisers today say it's worth. So the best thing to do is sell it to the bank by borrowing a lot of money against it. And then when the real estate market crashes, you can always hand your house back to the bank. And they'll just have a house, and you would have gotten whatever equity they were willing to lend you. But anyway, you know, we still have no callers on hold. And so let me give you guys the number again. If there's anybody out there, somebody's got to have a comment or a question. The number to call toll-free is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597, and that's the number for your calls. The lines are open. Now, also, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about an email that I sent last week, and I got quite a few replies to the email, and I was, you know, frankly surprised to have received them. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit because people, you know, some people, I guess. I mean, obviously, I sent out about 8,000 emails, so I've got maybe a half a dozen replies of people expressing, you know, some negative response to it. Anyway, the email had to do with buying precious metals and the Perth Mint program. But let me take a quick break, and I'll pick that topic up because I want to go to the phones. We did get a caller coming in. John is calling from New York. Go ahead, John.
Hello?
Can John hear me?
My question for you is, you just mentioned the Perth Mint. I'm a strong advocate of possessing precious metals, holding them, having them, not having certificates or anything like that, because, you know, I feel this economic collapse is going to be here sooner than later, spurred on by the, you know, the two catastrophes we've had recently. And, you know, having it in on your person, and I'm not talking about having it and then putting it in a safety deposit bank. If they close the banks, you're screwed. Excuse my language. But I find this is a very much of an uphill battle in trying to educate my neighbors, family, other people concerning these matters. They look at you as if...
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. In fact, I advocate that as part of your gold portfolio, you include some coins in your physical possession mm-hmm. that you actually have on your premises that you can access quickly, particularly if you might end up needing them for barter transactions
mm-hmm.
or maybe you need them to bribe people, like, you know, whatever. But it's a good idea to have gold coins. But one of the reasons that I like the Perth Mint program so much, and there's a lot of confusion about it, I mean, people say, oh, it's not really gold, it's just a certificate. No, the certificate is simply the equivalent of a warehouse receipt. What the certificate is letting you know that the Perth Mint has on deposit for you X ounces of gold, silver, or platinum. They're your ounces, they're there. Now, there are two ways that the Perth Mint will store your gold or your gold for you. One way is called allocated, where they actually take specific ounces and put them separated just for you, where these are your ounces, they're nobody else's, these are your specific ounces, and you get a certificate saying you have on deposit this allocated gold. The other option is unallocated, and in that option, what they say is, we have your gold. It's on our premises somewhere at all times. But you don't know which particular ounces belong to you or which particular ounces belong to anybody else who has selected unallocated. But we'll give you a certificate and we'll let you know that we have for you 10 ounces, 20 ounces of gold. It's here. It's in our facility. It belongs to you. And you can have it whenever you want. Just ask us and we'll ship it to you. And when you choose that option, there's no storage fee. And the reason they do that is the Perth Mint is a mint. They need to have an inventory of gold all the time so that when somebody walks in with raw bullion and says, I'd like coins for this, they don't have to wait to melt down that bullion. They can already have some coins and hand it and then take in the bullion. And it's a way for the mint to finance for free its inventory needs. And so that's what they get for this unallocated program. They're not doing it at a charity. It's a win for everybody. Because as a gold holder, it doesn't matter to me what they're doing with my gold while they're storing it. I don't care. As long as it never leaves the premises, they don't loan it out. You know, it's not a fractional reserve system. I mean, what it's like is if you take your hat and you check it and they give you a hat check.
No, Pete, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm very familiar with their program. I've looked into it a couple years ago, and I almost actually moved in that direction. However, based upon the economic fraud that's been perpetrated on the people of this country through the fractional reserve system, the fraud that's being perpetrated on them presently by this electronic, the gold fund, the ETF, there's no way for people to ascertain whether or not the gold is there. So,
sure, with
on those facts, I do not trust paper, period.
I don't need it. Let me
argue with you.
I want to take a quick break and play a commercial for Euro Pacific Capital. You want to hold on or you...
No, I'll let you go. I think you had another. When I called in, I heard the phone ringing as well. But I just want to let you know, I read your articles on Gold Seek, periodically. You do have articles up there, and I do listen to your program weekly. So.
All right, well, I'm going to continue on the subject of the Perth Mint after the break.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just one of these. I don't want to be in the United States and have a crisis happen and have my gold, 8,000 miles away.
Well, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but in some cases, you're going to want your gold 8,000 miles away. And
I know the confiscation issue, yeah. I'll listen to you.
Okay, great.
Thanks, sir.
I know we've got another caller on hold, but let's take a break, play a commercial on how to get a hold of Euro Pacific Capital, and we'll pick up the show at the other end of the break.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
All right, we're back. We're back on, and I want to continue to talk about the Perth Mint and some of the misconceptions about the program and some of the many reasons that I like it. And again, I became a dealer for the Perth Mint because I sought them out. I found out about their program, and I thought it was a very unique, cost-effective, secure way for me to help my clients acquire physical precious metals. And so I'm selling it because I like it. I went to them. I said, I want to sell your product. So I believe in it. I like the product. That's why I'm making it available to my clients. Anyway, let me take John. He's calling from New York. Another John. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Just very concerned. I believe in investing out of the country, or at least if you do buy in gold or so, to have it so it's out of this country. But I guess my question is, as I'm looking, just as New Orleans went down and communications went down, if you can't make a phone call or you can't communicate out, or the city gets nuked or something along those lines, what's your secondary recourse? You know, I mean, geez, it might be even trouble just trying to get out of the country, and if you don't have access to the money, I mean, to have some in hand would be great, and especially if gold or silver.
Oh, yeah, as I said, you always want to have some gold in your physical possession. But do you want to have all your gold stored that way?
Right.
The benefit of the Perth Mint, here's the couple of things that I like about it. First of all, let's assume you have gold, you know, you have it in your house, and you hide it someplace, you bury it. That doesn't mean that somebody can't break into your house and steal it. What if someone sees you hiding it? Or what if someone finds out you have gold and they break into your house, they put a gun to your head, and they say, give me your gold or I'm going to shoot you, or I'm going to shoot your wife or your kids? I mean, it doesn't mean that someone can't steal your gold. I mean, it's not impervious to theft when you store it yourself. I think gold is safer in a government-owned vault in Australia, especially when the government of Australia guarantees that if that gold is ever missing when you need it, they'll make good for it, and they'll give you the Australian dollar equivalent value of that gold, and if the Australian government reneges, then Lloyd's of London is insuring it as well. So I think that gold is actually safer in Australia. I think it's less likely to get stolen. I mean, that's why people put money in banks. They figure, you know, it's safer in a vault there than just under their mattress. So I think it makes sense to have some of your gold stored that way. But I think the most important reason to have some of your gold offshore is, let's assume things really get bad in the United States, and the U.S. government says, okay, it's illegal to own gold. Americans, turn in your gold.
Right.
Well, then what are you going to do? I mean, if you have it in the country and you choose not to turn it in, which I wouldn't turn it in. But number one, what if they catch you with it? What if they break into your house? Or you're trying to leave the country, you're trying to flee the country, and you got gold, you know, in your suitcase, or you got it stuffed in your pants or in your socks, and they catch you. What if it's a 20-year prison term? What if it's a death penalty to be caught with gold? I'd like to know that I've got some gold in Australia that I don't have to turn it in, and if I leave the country with nothing but the shirt on my back, I've got gold waiting for me in Australia. And I have something out of the country just in case I can't leave with anything. I mean, it's good to have money out of the jurisdiction of the U.S. And, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, they can't seize that gold. They can take your certificate, but big deal. The certificate doesn't mean anything. You'll get another one. They can't take your certificate and get your gold. And if someone breaks into your house and steals your certificate, they haven't stole anything. Your gold's still in your name in Australia. They can't take that certificate and get your gold. So I think it makes a lot of sense to have some gold stored in a foreign jurisdiction that's outside the United States. Do you want all your gold that way? No. You know, you want to have some of it in your possession. You want to have some of it out of the country. And the Perth Mint is a great way to do that. And the fact is that you can buy gold at pretty much the spot price. And, you know, you have no storage fees, no shipping fees, no insurance costs. You know, a lot of times, you know, people buy gold coins. They never actually use them. They own them and they sell them. They paid to have a coin fabricated, but they never actually needed the coin. You know, if you buy gold, you can't buy it at spot prices. You're going to buy it several percentages above spot because you had to pay to make that coin. But if you buy some gold at the Perth Mint and you never need it and just turn around and resell it, you've actually controlled a lot more gold for your money because you didn't have to pay to make a coin. The only time you pay to make the coin is when you ask for the gold shipped to you. And then you specify how you want it. Do you want it in bars? What weight? Do you want it in coins? What denomination? And they'll make them for you and ship them to you. So I think it's a great way to own gold. And I don't think it's not an IOU. It's not a promise to pay you gold.
Right.
It's actually gold. Like, for example, I know that Everbank is missing out.
I understand what you're saying there, but I'm in a unique situation in which I'm, I guess, a radical, where I've exposed a few things and they don't like me, so I've got things happening to me where I've got like a $15,000 credit line on my credit card, but last January I paid a 96.93% interest, which I had no late fees or anything on that, and then they explained, well, that's just our normal charge. Yes, you know, I mean, it's because the system is getting rancid or just totally vile. The bankers are taking control. They're going to steal your land. I'm an ex-farmer, in which I'm trying to put the farm back, but I don't see it happening because they're just orchestrating this total takeover.
I don't think you want to take a look just because there are some those concerns that you can't trust any depository. And I think, you know, mining is a major industry in Australia. I don't think they're going to be confiscating gold over there. And I think there's a better, greater chance that it gets confiscated in America than it gets confiscated in gold.
I agree with
and
that.
It's good to have some money out of the country.
The question is, if I'm trying to, say, get out of here, and, you know, they're going to confiscate your gold or whatever at the border, or tell you that they're going to take it, how is there a chance of having, like, a gold credit card to where you have an Australian credit card that's usable in Canada because America's gone defunct, is really my concern.
Yeah, well, it's possible. But anyway, thank you very much for the call.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, but again, you know, I said EverBank is coming out with a CD, which is going to be a gold-type CD, where the CD, it's a five-year CD, and at the end of that time period, it matures, you get the average price of gold over a 10-year period. So there's some, it's tied in some way to gold. That's an IOU for gold. That's you know, where you don't have real gold, you have a promise by a bank to pay you some equivalent of gold's gains. That would be, you know, something where you don't have real gold. Also, you know, the gold ETF, like GLD, that trades on the exchange, that, again, is more paper gold, because unless you have the equivalent of $4 million worth, you cannot take delivery of your gold. All you can do is exchange your shares. And there, again, there's no audit. So you're really not sure if the trust actually has as many gold as there are shares outstanding. That's not the case with the Perth Mint. The Perth Mint is required by Australian law to have, at all times, 100% of all their unallocated gold accounted for and on premises at all times. So it's not a situation where they're allowed to loan it out, or they can say, well, not everybody's going to want their gold all at once, so we're going to loan some of it out. They can't do that. They have to keep it there. The only thing is, it doesn't matter what form it's in. It has to be there. So whenever, it doesn't matter if everybody that had gold at the Perth Mint, everybody that had unallocated gold, if on the same day they all showed up and asked for their gold, they can all get it. Right? That's not the case with the bank deposits. Obviously, if everybody puts money in a bank and they run in to get it at the same time, the bank doesn't have it, you know, because it's lent out. That's not the case with the Perth Mint. What these certificates really are warehouse receipts. They're not IOUs. You're not lending your gold to the Perth Mint. You are allowing them to use your gold while they're storing it. That's all you're allowing them to do, but it can't leave the premises. I guess it would be like with my hat check, a situation, you go and take your hat in, they give you a receipt, and they agree that if, you know, they'll store your hat for free if you let the people in the hat check stand wear it while you're away. So they get to use it, it has to be there, but they put it on their head, and then when you come back, as opposed to, well, you know, we won't wear it. They're utilizing it, but they're not, you know, they're not damaging it in any way, and it's not leaving the premises, and no matter when you go there, the hat's going to be there for you. Anyway, we've got another caller online from California. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, Mr. Schiff, I was wondering if, I know you're a bear, and I understand that and don't have a problem with it, but do you think that maybe there's too many bears right now in light of the PC ratio, put-call ratios, and other things, and maybe that there's too many people expecting a decline, that we may see a mini rally of some sort here?
I don't know. I don't think there's nearly enough bears. I think that there's still a tremendous amount of complacency out there. Look at the VIX index. Look at you know, the other measures of lack of volatility or complacency are extremely high. You know, look at the fact that, you know, we've just had these major hurricanes, and we've had a lot of problems, and the stock market hasn't gone down at all. I think there's a lot of complacency out there. I think there's far too many bulls, not too many bears, and I think those bears that are out there are very timid bears. They're not, you know, they're not bearish enough. You know, they're bulls disguised as bears. You know, they're, well, I think the market's going to go sideways before it goes up. I mean, that's a bear on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't think there's nearly as enough people out there predicting how bad this thing really is going to go. You know, I mean, I'm not just a bear. I'm a great big grizzly bear with big teeth and claws, standing on his hind legs, you know, with his mouth open. There's not enough people like that. So I think we've got a long way to go down. And I think, you know, we really could be setting ourselves up for a major, major decline because of, you know, how much complacency there's been and how you know, you're starting to see a backup in interest rates now on the long end. And maybe this could be more significant. We had some very weak consumer confidence numbers for the last couple of weeks. And this, the bond market couldn't rally off those numbers. The bond market has been weak. You know, gold's hitting new 18-year highs. Oil prices are strong. You know, consumer prices are rising. This is going to be, this year, inflation is going to be the highest in probably 20 years. And next year is going to be even worse. And, you know, this is some dangerous times. There's just a lot of complacency out there. And I think that this Christmas season, you know, is going to be a particularly, particularly weak season for the retailer. And that's, you know, a lot of our economy. Because if you take a look at the lower strata of the consumers, they are really facing some triple whammy here. Three things are happening to the lower end. You've got higher energy prices that are going to hit not only the cost of commuting back and forth to work, but the cost of heating their homes over the winter. So this is going to hit people extremely hard. Number two, you've got higher mortgage rates. A lot of the lower income people who are homeowners own homes with adjustable rate mortgages. Many of them are one-year arms and two-year arms. So a lot of these people are having their interest rates reset now, and they're significantly higher monthly payments than they were a year ago if they had a one-year arm. Significantly higher. They could be twice as high. A lot of people might have home equity lines, and these lines are a lot more expensive. So you've got higher interest payments on your home mortgage or your home equity line. You've got more expensive gas, because a lot of these people tend to have longer distances to commute because they have less income, so they can't afford to buy a house right near their work, so they're living 30 miles, 40 miles away, so they're spending a lot of money on gasoline. And then the third thing, and a lot of people don't even know about this, is credit card payments. Between now and the end of the year, just about every credit card company is going to double the minimum monthly required payment. Now, for a lot of people, they say, who cares what the minimum? Well, right now, there is a record percentage of credit card holders who are making the minimum payments, and most of them tend to be low income. And all of a sudden, if that's going to double from the minimum being 2%, which is what it is now, to 4%, all of a sudden, if somebody was making a $200 or $300 a month payment on their credit cards, now they're making a $400 or $600 a month payment. That $200 or $300 is a lot of money to some families, especially when their gas bill is going up and their mortgage rates are going up all at the same time. Their income isn't going up. I just read an article that showed that, according to the IRS, income last year was lower than it was substantially. I think, you know, adjusted for inflation, it was like 4 or 5% lower than it was in 1999. So household incomes are falling, yet the cost of living is rising sharply. And so I think this is going to really take a dent out of consumer spending, and, you know, that's the whole, you know, ball of wax for the U.S. economy. And, you know, I think corporations, you know, their earnings are going to suffer from this, and you can really see a weak stock market between now and the end of the year, and certainly 2006 could be a huge, huge decline in the stock market.
Okay, well, thank you.
Sure, thanks for the call. You a client, Bill?
No, I'm not.
What's stopping you from working with us?
Oh, I don't have much of a portfolio, so.
Well, whatever you got, you know, we'd like to help you protect it. You know, the key is to preserve your wealth, and you're only going to do that by, I think, investing in foreign assets and getting out of U.S. dollar-denominated assets. Anyway, if you want us to help you, just give us a call. That's the whole goal of the main goal of the program, not only to communicate to my clients on a regular basis, and certainly I encourage as many clients as I can to listen to this broadcast, because I've got a lot of clients, so not everybody is able to talk to me on a regular basis. And this is a way, this program is a way for clients of Euro Pacific Capital to get to hear my thoughts on a weekly basis without having to talk to me personally. I mean, there are always representatives that work for me that clients of Euro Pacific Capital can talk to, but they can't always talk to me because there's only one of me and there are thousands and thousands of clients. So this is a great way, a great vehicle for me to speak directly to the clients, and any clients who want to call can call and ask a question, and hopefully it's a question that a lot of other people were thinking about asking or wanted to ask, but maybe they didn't ask. And so, you know, when I answer the question for one person, I hopefully, you know, hundreds or thousands of some lucky people are listening who are clients, and they can get an answer to a similar question. And I've often, you know, commented on this program how unique it is, how rare it is that a stockbroker like myself would actually have a live, uncensored call-in program where he invites all of his clients, past and present, to listen and call in. I don't think any other stockbroker has a show like this, and I don't think most stockbrokers could, because all they would be receiving is call after call of people they screwed over, calling up complaining about how much money they lost on their rotten stock picks. And so I've been doing this show now, for over a year, and we haven't had any of those calls. In fact, they're just the opposite. Anyway, another caller has just come on board. David from Ohio, go ahead.
Yes, you were mentioning the real estate market tonight. I'm from Ohio, and we lead the nation in home foreclosures, and it's just worsening all the time. It's a state that's plagued not only by a weak economy, but much predatory lenders, and they're in the hundreds of thousands now everywhere.
It's going to get worse once interest rates really start to rise.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad the last few years, but there's no end in sight.
Do you own a home?
No, I was thinking about getting one, but I'm holding off for now.
Well, sounds like it. I mean, especially in that area, if there's a lot of foreclosures now, just you ain't to wait. You know, because, I mean, this is in a bull market. What happens when we're in a bear market for houses? And, yeah, the credit really contracts. I mean, right now you want to rent, you want to wait it out, you want to keep your powder drying out of the dollar and be in a position to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so are you a client of ours?
No, I listen to your program, though.
Yeah, well, that's the money that you're hoping to use to buy a house. You should open up an account, send it to us, let us invest it, and help it grow so that when it comes time to buy a house, you'll have something to buy it with.
Oh, I see.
That's the key. You want to keep your home equity potential buying money out of the dollar just in case we have hyperinflation. You know, there's a chance that housing prices won't fall because the dollar could fall so much that it makes that impossible. But then your foreign assets will appreciate far faster than those houses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be better off.
All right. Well, I'll have to get your address.
Yeah, well, it's on our website. You know, are you listening on shortwave or on the Internet?
On shortwave.
Yeah, you go to my website. It's www.europac.net.
Okay.
And all my information, how to get a hold of me. But you can call our toll-free number. It's 800-727-7922.
27.
Office right there in Newport Beach, California.
Right.
What part of the state are you in?
Ashtabula County.
Yeah. But yeah, just check out our website and give us a call. We look forward to working with you. Oh, you're in Ohio. What am I talking about? It was the last caller. It was California.
Yeah.
But we've got an East Coast office, too. I'm on, you want to call someone in the East in your same time zone, you can call us at 888-377-3722. And that's my office in Darien, Connecticut.
Okay.
All right, great. Thanks for listening and look forward to working with you. We've got a couple of more callers on the line. I'd ask if they can hold. Let me play that commercial one more time to let people know how to get a hold of us at Euro Pacific Capital, and we'll pick up for the last segment after the break.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, we're back, and let's go to the phones. We've got Joe on the line from New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Joe, It's Joe speaking. Mr. Schiff, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. I met you about 4 years ago.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, I am. I met you about 4 years ago, and I told you that I thought gold on my watch was worth nothing, and you told me...
Can you talk? Can you leave the speaker? Because it's coming in so loud, I'm having a hard time understanding you. Probably the listeners can't understand you either.
Can you hear me now, Mr. Schiff?
Can you come off the speakerphone?
Mr. Schiff, it's Tim speaking. How are you?
Oh, hey, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
What's going on?
Well, I just remember speaking to you about 4 years ago, and I remember walking up a balcony of stairs, and you were talking to me about gold, and I remember mentioning to you that it was worth nothing on my wrist. Gold was at, what price was that, $265 an ounce?
Something like that.
And it's now at what?
Well, I think it's about 473 or something.
Wow. That's pretty amazing over 2.5 years, isn't it?
Well, I think you ain't seen nothing yet. I think gold's going a lot higher.
Yeah, I feel a little embarrassed. I remember I had my wife there, and I had my dog named Barrick. And we just want to say that you've really proved your worth in what you say. And, you know, my wife and I have followed a lot of your leads, and just want to give you a call and congratulate you on that great call that you had on gold and the dollar, for that matter, and for a lot of other things that trade overseas.
All right, hey, thanks. Appreciate the compliment.
And have a nice evening.
You too. So, I mean, also, people who are interested in gold, you know, if you want to get more information on this Perth Mint program, you can, you know, go to our website at www.europac.net. I've got a page devoted to the Perth Mint. You can also get to that page directly at goldyoucanfold.com. Just spell out the word, goldyoucanfold.com, and that's a site dedicated to the Perth Mint. And you can also call Daniel Dwyer in my Newport Beach office, is in charge of that program. And if anybody has any questions about it, she can answer them for you as well as take orders to buy. And she can be reached at 800-727-7922. 800-727-7922. And let's take another call from Mike calling from Texas. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, a quick question and a comment, or really give you a heads up on some. First, have you heard anything back from Fox News yet for the Cavuto program?
Oh, no, they haven't. Yeah, you're the person who would...
Yeah, I've been waiting, and I tell you something, they don't want somebody like you on there. They have their little pretend bears on there, and they're the type of bears that they can raise their voice and talk over them and kind of push them around. They don't want you on there because my guess is that they've probably seen you in action, and they do not want to have you on there. They would not be able to intimidate you the way that they do the other ones that they have on there. They're phony.
No, I'm going to be on. I'm going to send an email on this, but I will be on Monday, I believe from 11 o'clock to noon, or 10 to 11, I'm not sure, but it's for a full hour on Bloomberg Television. That's Eastern Time. I'll be on for a full hour on Monday.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to come on there. You had told us that you're going to be on there, but...
I'll send out a mass email to everybody on my list, again, confirming, I think either tomorrow or Friday, the exact time that I will be on Bloomberg.
Yeah, I don't want to miss
an hour, so I'm going to get a lot of stuff in.
Listen, the other thing I'm calling about is, have you ever heard of the Hindenburg Omen?
Ask me about that.
Beg pardon?
Somebody else asked me about that recently. I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, you can get some good references for it on the internet. The name itself was coined by Kennedy Gamage, but it's a very, very rare indicator that gets triggered under only very certain circumstances, which are that it's triggered when there's three things that have to happen, and I won't get into it. You can look it up and you can find it. But what it shows extreme weakness in the underlying market. Now, in the last six trading days up until yesterday, I haven't checked to see if one's triggered yet today again, but in the last six trading days, we have had four Hindenburg Omens triggered. They are extremely rare. The last one that we had was in April of 2004, and the PPT, or the Fed, or whoever you want to call them, flooded the market with liquidity in order to prevent a market meltdown. But
I don't know. I mean, I tell you, though, I think the U.S. certainly has the Hindenburg of economies, and we've got the Hindenburg of a housing bubble. I mean, in fact, we probably... So I think the word Hindenburg is very appropriate for a lot of what's going on in the United States.
Well, Kennedy Gamage named it that because it is so ominous, and it can be so catastrophic. And what it means is, once it is triggered, and this has been shown in past history, all except, like I say, in April 2004, but you can go back and you can look where these Hindenburg omens were triggered before. And what it says is that within 30 days after being triggered, and this is what history shows, that there is a stock market crash. Now, they prevented the one in April of 2004, and things were a lot stronger at that time as opposed to what it is right now. But I just wanted to give you a heads up there.
Well, omen or none, the market's due for a crash, so I would be very, very concerned if I was on the long side of this market.
Yeah, and so, you know, for any of your listeners that want to look it up, it's Hindenburg with a B, a B-U-R-G, and they can find some good write-ups on it, see the three things that triggers it. And I haven't looked yet today. We may have now five in the last 7 days.
All right, well,
days, but,
thanks for the call. I'll try to see if I can look into that myself.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting trigger.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, now that I mentioned, you know, the emails, you know, I do try to communicate now more and more with email. I think we're up to about 8,000 email addresses, but I think I've got about 13,000 people on my mailing list who are clients or, you know, former clients. But if we don't have your email address, make sure you give us a call and get an email address so we can communicate to you on anything that comes up that's important. And, you know, one of the stocks that we own, you know, our largest Canadian oil and gas trust, I mean, the one that we own in the greatest amounts and we own it for the greatest number of clients, you know, was up 20% yesterday on good news. They increased their dividend by 20%. But the reason I bring it up is when we first started buying this stock, I started buying it around $4.80, $4.90. And all of a sudden, there were some people were nervous about, they had made an acquisition, and it turned out that they overpaid, or at least they didn't get as many reserves as they thought, and everybody was negative. And the stock dropped sharply, and it went down from like $5 down to just under $4. It was trading as low as $3.80 and change. And when that happened, you know, I looked at that as a great opportunity, and I actually sent out an email to everybody on my list specifically about that stock, talking about the fact that it had just dropped 20% and that I thought it made no sense to me, and I thought it was a great opportunity for anybody who had already bought it to average down and for anybody who hadn't bought it to begin a position. And I sent that out as a mass email to everybody on my list at the time. And the stock today is at about $8.40. So it's literally double the price it was when I sent out that email. Somebody who bought it when I sent out that email, you know, the dividend yield, you know, that they're getting now based on the higher dividend is about a third, about a 33% yield here on their original investment. But the whole point of the matter is that it was the people who had the email, all my clients, and say, hey, you know, jump on this opportunity, because it takes too long. But I could get out an email to everybody with a click of a mouse, and then anybody who wanted to saw that I had pointed out something that I thought was a good opportunity, and they had the ability to call me up and say, yeah, that makes sense. Let me, you know, buy me 1,000 shares or buy me 2,000 shares. So we don't send out these emails all the time. In fact, you know, they're pretty rare. But it's great if we have your email address on file. And don't worry about, you know, being inundated with junk mail. Believe me, if I send an email, you want to read it, because I'm not emailing you about something that isn't important. And either it's going to be about an, you know, a good opportunity in the market, or I'm just going to update you on something that's going on with one of our positions, or I'm going to let you know about an upcoming television appearance. So it's all information that you'd want. So if we don't have your email address, if you're not getting emails from me, make sure and give us a call and get on our list. Or, you know, if you haven't read or downloaded my research report yet on the powerful case for investing in foreign equities, go to our website or go to researchreport1.com, researchreport1.com. Download that report, and when you download that report, you automatically go on my mailing list, and then you'll get my emails just from reading that report. But it's a great report if you haven't read it anyway, and if you're not a client or you don't own foreign stocks, it's a great introduction to some of the reasons why we're recommending these stocks. Anyway, we have one more caller on the line, I believe, from New Jersey. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Peter. I'm just wondering about what do you actually do with the money if you sell your real estate, if you sell your stocks, and you have a cash position, and you're in dollars, you live in the States, you're in dollars, where do you actually, how do you protect your money, and how can you get a good yield? Where do you go now?
I mean, I'm glad you asked that question, because that's what I'm doing for people. I mean, once you get those dollars, you need to get rid of them before they lose their value. So you take those dollars and you use them, you send them into Euro Pacific Capital, we set up an account for you, we accept your dollars. then we take those dollars and we turn them into Swiss francs and euros and Australian dollars and Canadian dollars, and we use those foreign currencies to buy assets in Australia, in Canada, in Switzerland, you know, in the UK, in Singapore. We buy you real assets that pay dividends. And you get an income stream coming in from those in those foreign currencies, so you're protected. You've got your wealth out of dollars and into non-dollar assets that pay income streams that will be able to rise in value to compensate for the loss of purchasing power of the dollar.
That's what I've been hoping for, some kind of a, you know, an investment outside of the U.S. dollar, because I just feel that it's getting so diluted with all the spending they're doing and all the deficits and everything else. It just seems like they don't say there's inflation, but there seems to be huge inflation. And if you're not hedged somehow...
The government is creating inflation like crazy, and they're just lying to us because they want to convince the world that there's no inflation, because that's their whole scam. Because if they want to keep borrowing a lot of money, they have to sucker the creditors into lending it to them. They have to pretend there's no inflation as they're creating it, like it's going out of style. But people have to understand. I mean, it's amazing. A lot of people understand that politicians lie. I mean, people know that. Politicians lie to get elected. I mean, they're a bunch of liars. So, you know, when we know politicians lie, why would we think they're telling the truth when it comes to what the inflation rate is? And they're making this stuff up. You know, they want us to believe that there's no inflation, so that's what they tell us. But the reality is there's a lot of inflation, and you can't depend on the government to tell you there's inflation, because they never will. You've got to understand it for yourself and realize that you've got to protect yourself. I mean, waiting for the government to tell you to worry about inflation is, you know, is like the hens relying on the fox to protect them.
One more question, just about gold. Do you think it's worthwhile buying gold here at these prices in terms of, like, coins or...
Well, sure, I talked about that earlier in the program, but I still think gold is very inexpensive. I mean, certainly in terms of dollars. If you look at gold relative to the price of oil, gold has never been this cheap relative to oil in the history of oil and gold. If you look at production, annual production of gold worldwide is at a 100-year low or a 70-year low. I mean, South African production is virtually, you know, at the lowest level ever because it's so expensive to mine it. Gold is obviously undervalued. And for years and years, there hasn't been real legitimate demand for gold. People have had maximum complacency. People have had a lot of faith in central bankers and the integrity of central bankers, and that faith was misplaced. And I think as more and more people around the world start to distrust governments and distrust central banks, more and more people are going to start to look to gold again as a store of value. And I think as more and more people are on Wall Street or investment community understand that, you know, these derivative contracts that they're in, that they're using for hedges as opposed to gold, are not necessarily going to pan out because of the counterparty risk. And I think more and more portfolio managers are going to rediscover gold as a better, more reliable portfolio insurance than some derivative contract. I think you're going to see gold prices moving up dramatically.
So coins, bullion, I mean, how do you buy the gold?
Everything. Anyway, you know, we're running out of time here, but give us a call. You know, we'd love to talk to you about the ways that we recommend gold. You know, call us up, 800-727-7922 or 888-377-3722, and we'll be happy to talk to you.
Thanks so much.
Great.
Do you have a chance? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they got crushed today. Any feeling about that?
Well, they're going to go bankrupt. That's what's going to happen there. No question about it. All right, thank you.
Your time.
Anyway, well, another the hour is almost over. I'd like to thank everybody once again for listening. We will be back again, same time next week. Remember, listen to me on Bloomberg or watch the Bloomberg show on Monday. And, you know, tell your friends to watch the show. It's a good opportunity for people to hear me speak for at a length of time. And we'll talk about the show next week on Wednesday. Anyway, don't forget to visit me on my website if you're listening on shortwave at www.europac.net, EUROPAC.net. Download my research report, that free report on the collapsing dollar, the powerful case for investing in foreign equities, at researchreport1.com, researchreport1.com. And again, this has been Peter Schiff at Europe Pacific Capital. Thanks for listening. We'll be here again next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thanks for listening. So long.